I was a kid, my dad used to take me to the racetracks in the Chicagoland area. Arlington was one of the big ones. But when the weather turns cold, it's time to head over to Hawthorne Racetrack. They have their opening day coming up, and we are thrilled to welcome to studio our friends from Hawthorne. We've got Tim Carey and Jim Miller join us. Is everyone grabbing a microphone? I'm sorry, I was talking to them in the green room, the PPG Paints green room, and telling them about how my dad used to take me to Hawthorne all the time. I don't think I've ever told you this, Andrea. I wanted to be a jockey when I was a kid.
Get out. Are you serious?
I did too. I actually went to the University of Arizona for racetrack management. Believe it or not, they have a program there.
Really?
I think I got down to 115 or something like that, but I couldn't maintain it.
No. Well, once I hit 5'6", I was like, I'm probably out. No, and also, it's nice. If you ever meet my mom, she'll tell you stories. I used to do I studied racing, and I would like do diagrams of the saddles and do like study. I tried figuring out how to get a job like at Arlington, and I was ready to do anything like clean out stables and stuff. But anyway, and then I got older and taller and figured that was never going to happen.
See, I don't want to be a jockey, but my uncle owned racehorses, both at Hawthorne and Arlington. So that was like the big thing. And my mom always had this knack for picking winning horses. And the year that she bets every year now, she goes once a year with all her friends to Arlington, once a year to Hawthorne. And then she bets on the Derby. Mm-hmm. And the year that, who was the horse? Was it Street Smart? I think was the name of the horse.
Street Sense.
Yeah, she wanted to put a lot of money on that horse. And I said, do not do that. You're not going to waste your money. You're on this fixed income. Sure enough, the horse wins.
Never heard
the end. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my
easy
God.
Money.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Well,
we're not doing that. yeah.
And the thing is what I've always loved about going to the racetrack is how close you can get to both the race, right? You're right on the railing. Mm-hmm. And I used to always go down. I don't know if I ever went down to the paddock to watch, because I don't know if the harness racers board on the carts there.
We used to be down in the paddock down underneath the building. Yes. Yeah. So that for the harness racing.
I think I can't remember because I really used to go when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old.
Right. but now because we're the only dual breed track in the country right now. So we run both standard bred as well as thoroughbred. And so because of that, you know, we typically, like, we just got done in January, February running harness, and then now we're opening up, or we opened up in the spring, and now we went all summer with the standard breds, and now we're opening up with the thoroughbreds again.
Wow.
On Friday. So because of that, we've moved the paddock to one of the barns on the backside.
So Tim, how long have you owned? Now I've met a golf course owner. Now I'm meeting an owner of a racetrack.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. It's very, very cool. And I'm very proud of our family. I'm fourth generation. So it was my great grandfather. He was alderman. He was the equivalent of Ed Burke. He was the chairman of the finance committee forever back in the early 1900s and whatnot. And so, we're the fifth oldest racetrack in the country, and we're the oldest sporting venue in the state of Illinois.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it really is. Sorry. It really is. It's really cool. And the fact that it was my great grandfather and my grandfather and my Uncle Tom and my father. And now I'm
Do you have the rest of your family still involved? And
you know what? We are all shareholders.
Okay.
But it's kind of worked out really well where there's just one person runs it. I mean, you just hear about all these family businesses and all the fighting that goes on and whatnot. And so it's worked out very, very well for just one person that's actually running it. But I have a great, phenomenal staff. I mean, I can't say enough about Jim Miller and John Walsh
manager.
And Jeff Crass and Billy and Dakota and everybody. I mean, it's just been, I'm very, very fortunate to have the staff that I do at Hawthorne, that's for sure.
Jim, what drew you into working for the racetrack?
You know what? It was just a background getting into racing overall, just starting on the racetrack and going out there and watching just the races as a kid and getting into it as a kid. And after that, I kind of wanted to grow into the racing industry a little bit. And I kind of picked up little jobs, odds and ends here and there. And I actually came into it on the broadcast end of things, learning through college through a communications degree.
Were you calling races?
Learning on the broadcast end. I started with calling races on the roof while our actual track announcer was announcing the races. I was standing next to him, calling it into just my own little recorder to kind of learn the races.
What?
And then I actually got the opportunity.
Did you know that about him?
No, I did not. This is the first time I've ever heard this.
So I got the opportunity to work in the press box and just kind of help out in the press box.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a suit that was probably, I was a high school kid. I was in a suit that probably cost $90 off the rack, but I had to look professional.
Sure.
One day they threw me on the air to pick horses on TV, And I loved it, and I've done it ever since. So I'm 25 years into the industry, 21 years at Hawthorne, and analyze races for a living is a great job.
That's a testament to how much people like working at your track.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah. And we're very, very fortunate with the staff that we have. No question about it.
How would you explain the experience for folks who've never been to the racetrack? Because, you know, there is a sort of generational thing. I think that, like, my dad's generation had all their friends. They'd, you know, go have their drinks and have their cigarettes. I could see my dad leaning against the rail, you know, having his cigarette. But it's different now, and in great ways, I think, too.
It really is. With the fact that we have full cart simulcasting, so you can bet on any racetrack across the country, as well as we have off track betting parlors. Now we have a mobile app, so you can bet off your phone. So it is different. It's a different experience from what it was when we went with our dads.
Right.
So it just is much more technologically driven. And so I just think it's a whole different experience that people tend to like. And so for the millennials, certainly.
Right.
It's right up their alley in terms of the phone and whatnot and stuff.
Sure, draw them in that way. And I'm sorry, I apologize, I forgot your name.
I'm Billy. Billy Bracken.
Hey, Billy Bracken.
He makes it all happen.
Wow. Hey, Billy. How's it going?
I'm the PR guy.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Now, do you go to the racetrack, though? Do you have a chance?
I do. Yeah, we go to the racetrack. I would say this. So Tim Carey, I used to work for ABC7, mm-hmm. and then I worked for Chicago Gateway Green, and Tim Carey was my first client.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
He asked me if I wanted to be the marketing director, and I said, well, yeah, I'd like to be the marketing director, but I would like to be the marketing director on a contract for Agency 360.
Right.
So that's what we did, and he hired me, and I'll tell you what, it's been a great relationship. It's been, I think, 11 years now, maybe 12.
Yeah. 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years now, mm-hmm. and we have a great team, and, you know, we're keeping everything alive, you know?
I love that.
And, you know, to pass a couple of gaming bills was awesome.
Oh, yeah. What were the gaming bills that passed, the legislative?
We passed full-blown gaming in 2010 and 2013. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Governor Quinn vetoed them, and so we've been pursuing that still to this day. We do have a bill pending right now that's passed out of the Senate, and it's sitting in the House committee right now. So we're hoping that we're able to do that come this spring. So depending upon the gubernatorial election and who's the next governor.
Conversations that you have with them and explain, you know, what the differences are and what the holdup is, I guess.
Have you had conversations with Rauner and or Pritzker about?
We haven't specifically. Spring? No, we haven't specifically. I think what we're trying to figure out as an industry is, you know, where the whole thing goes, right, because it has been sitting in committee right now. So I think in order for us to compete, you know, and that's the big thing that we've been preaching about is, you know, historically on thoroughbred racing, Illinois was always number fourth in the country. It was always nip and tuck, California, New York, and then always third was Florida, and always fourth was Illinois. And so I'd probably say we're, you know, 22, 26 right now in the country, unfortunately, just because of politics. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So we as an industry really need gaming in order for this industry to survive. I mean, there was an article recently in one of the papers, and it was all a full-page article about Governor Edgar. Mm-hmm. And he races everything he has, and he's stationed in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And here's the former governor that has a farm in Springfield, but races in other places just because the purse money is so much bigger.
And I would say this to folks who are resistant, and the reason why I'm curious is because I told the gentleman off the air that my father loved the racetracks. And but then when the casinos came in and the riverboats, there's something happened where, I don't know, my dad became a addicted to gambling. Mm-hmm. He would lose $10,000 and feel it, and because he had credit cards, he would take it all on the credit cards at the, you know, the machines there, and then go chasing it, right? And he had never had that problem with all the times he had gone to the racetracks, because there's a pace to it,
right?
There's time, you know, and there's also a mythology to methodology to it, right? You have to think about it, make decisions. There's something where you're actively participating in instead of putting your money on the table, different than, you know, some of the other situations that you're in.
Well, the beauty of racing too is it's called parimutuel wagering, for the fact that you're wagering against everybody else. That's what sets the odds, is how much money they're putting on the other horses in the race. So you're not only playing against the horses on the racetrack, you're trying to figure out what everybody else is doing out there as well. But you're right, you talk about it. It's not the spin of a wheel, and then you're right back spinning the wheel
exactly.
again. You're watching the horses come over to the paddock. You're watching them warm up. It's the 20 minutes in between races right. to watch these horses right in front of you and then see everything that leads up to the start of a race. And I think that's kind of the beauty of horse racing with what we draw and what we can offer for the right. people is coming out and seeing it live. And like you mentioned, you can get up close and personal to these
exactly.
races. And it's a big difference from the casino experience. And some people, they want that instant gratification, but that gratification can lead to the other direction as well. And
believe
with racing,
me,
if you do pace yourself, you can yeah. set a date and really do it well. Yeah.
And the thing about it is they're beautiful animals.
Yep.
Standard bred,
yeah,
oh God, thoroughbreds, yeah. they're absolutely beautiful animals. Yeah. And there's a real art to it and stuff.
Yes.
And you got yeah. education, and you're sitting, and you're reading, and you're studying this program. I mean, it does, as opposed to spinning a wheel. Absolutely. And that's why we've been pitching this whole thing, because as an industry, it's an agribusiness. I mean, our industry touches the top of the state to the bottom of the state and east and west, because it's agribusiness. There's farmers out mm-hmm. there. And that's what I think is lost sometimes on the legislature, is it hits every aspect of this state. It's an agribusiness, and they're letting an agribusiness suffer. And that's so unfortunate in the state of Illinois in terms of what we could do. And there's you know, video poker at every bar, restaurant,
right.
whatever it is.
Exactly.
To think that the oldest sporting venue, we you know, our track opened up in 1891.
Wow.
They were betting back then,
right.
you mm-hmm. know, so that's gambling. And the fact that we can't get it is and because it's the agribusiness, because it includes so many people, it's so unfortunate.
Orion Samuelson, who yep. everybody knows, mm-hmm. used to be on the gaming board.
Absolutely.
So, and
right.
he was a big proponent of expanding sports gambling itself is such an industry. I mean, look at Vegas. It's the most popular,
right.
you know, betting
right.
tool there is.
And unfortunately, your father, are there people out there that do become addicted?
Well, let me say that people, coincided with something else with him, too. My dad had been an alcoholic, and when he stopped drinking, I think he was looking for something
sure.
else to
and
replace
that's where I was going to go.
Yes.
So do we close down all the bars
yeah.
because, the, you know, there's alcoholics
yeah.
out there and
right.
stuff like that? Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of crazy.
So that was, for him, it was timing, but also I think that if he, you know, I think that it was like, you are sort of thrill-seeking at that
right.
point, too,
yep.
trying to find something right. to replace it. And the casinos provide that. I think that a lot of people enjoy casinos. I love the buffets. Let's talk more with our friends when we come back. Our friends Billy, Tim, and right? Am I getting, yeah, Tim
yep.
and Jim. More when we come back, and also Gen Z's here. Have you been to a racetrack, Jen?
I have Arlington. My yeah. uncle actually lives right down the street.
There you
perfect.
Let's talk more when we come back on 720 WGN. For four generations, Hawthorne Racetrack has been providing entertainment and excitement for people throughout the Chicagoland area, and they start their new season October 5th. 3 p.m. post time Wednesday through Saturday. Do I have all that right?
You got it.
Jim?
All right. We're ready to roll
all
and go right through the second week of January. So we're something that, even though the sport's happening outside, we got a great track crew, and we're going to go pretty much rain, shine, snow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I've been there for all of that.
Actually, there are great pictures of when it snows.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
yeah.
really cool. Seeing the horses run. That's actually pretty cool.
They prefer it, actually. The cooler weather, they
yeah.
prefer over the, over that extreme heat.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
it's something that it makes them perform a little bit better. The human aspect of it, it's a little tougher on them, but things are closed for us with the paddocks,
right.
and we do just fine.
Do you have more women that are jockeys these days?
We do have actually quite a few women.
Yeah.
I think we're up to 4 female riders right now. We have a woman by the name of Sophie Doyle, who's done very well. She had a great Arlington meet. She just finished the Arlington meet, I think second in the rider standings there. Coming over to Hawthorne for the fall meet, a very talented rider. And I'll tell you, just the strength that you see with her on the back of a horse, and then the confidence in that, it's something that she helps with our younger female riders too, and I think she's helping to grow kind of that female riding base too.
I've always wondered about the sort of the culture of you know, the jockeys, because it's, you know, it's not all the same thing that you see in the movies, I'm
sure.
guessing.
Sure. Well, and the thing is they are competing for money, so that's
sure.
something where they will compete for money, but at the same time they want to help one another
mm-hmm.
because they want to be safe for everybody on the racetrack, because this is their livelihood. So there is a lot of chatter. They watch races together. They learn from one another, and it is really nice to see.
And they're professional athletes too.
Yeah,
you know, they're treated like professional athletes.
Is there any hazing?
No hazing on that. the only thing that you'll see, which I always love, yeah. is when a rider gets their first victory. They'll have that first victory.
Yes.
They're way out on the
yes.
scale. Then
That's
as they're
cool.
walking back to the jock room, they usually get doused with a couple buckets of water and that, and then just kind of they're welcoming into the victory circle there.
It's a rite of passage.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So from the 630, I
sure.
wanted to see if you would address this, and I appreciate it if you will. There's an abuse of racehorses that's the dirty secret of racing. Do you want to address that? 'Cause I know
sure. I mean, people will ask about that, and it's really truly the opposite. opposite. I mean, the care that these horses get, because they're an investment by these owners, is really top-notch. I mean, you go from the stabling that they have at the racetrack to the fact that we employ as a racetrack ourselves three veterinarians that are on day and night, so we always have someone there, and then each trainer has their own veterinarian as well. But also just the fact with the help that they have. I mean, I think one thing that people don't realize at Hawthorne is, on top of all the stabling, we have 330 dormitory rooms for the staff that take care of these horses.
Wow.
For each and every trainer.
Really?
So every morning, these horses have grooms that walk the horses in the morning. They have gallop hands that go out and gallop the horses. Somebody else that takes care of their legs after they're done galloping. And then the trainer just to oversee it all. And on top of that, a veterinarian that sees these horses each and every day. So really, the care is top-notch because it is a big investment for these owners. So they want to protect that investment. So it's far from abuse. If anything, these horses are pampered and really taken care of well. And then on top of it, something that we've really helped with at Hawthorne and work with our horsemen's organization with is a retirement program post-racing. So at any time, these horses, without question, they can surrender this horse over to this retirement program. We help to fund the program at Hawthorne race course, and then you're finding a home for these horses after. And sometimes this horse may just be a pasture horse, other times it could be a jumper, could be a riding horse, but we have a program set for each and every horse on the backside at Hawthorne, so they have a career once they're done racing.
Oh, thank you for informing people, because I think that they hear stories or they've read things, and a lot has changed over the decades, whether it's I think nationally it's a concern that people have.
Yep.
And you, in the stories, you know, especially if you think of like old time movies, you're like, okay, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
From the 630, do a lot of horses come from Ocala, Florida?
We get our share from Ocala. And what happens is down at the breeding farms in Ocala, there's a lot of land out there where horses go out during the winter time to kind of get away from the cold, harsh conditions. If they're not racing at the time, they go down to the Ocala, and that's kind of the hotbed for horses just to winter and kind of freshen up. But we do get a lot of those horses back from Ocala.
They're asking if that's a must see. I'm not. Do people visit Ocala to see the horses?
I've been down there numerous times. It's the thing that really interests you is you see all these horses roam in the fields, but then you see almost each and every farm has their own training track there, so they can get the horses ready. So when they come back to the racetrack, they're ready to roll.
It's a whole industry.
You know what I always thought was cool too is the jockeys that ride the horses.
Yep.
You know, I went at a very young age. I thought, oh, there was one horse, one jockey, but they ride multiple horses.
Yep.
So how does the animal react to the different jockeys?
It's amazing to watch. I mean, first of all, like Tim mentioned, these are great athletes. I mean, you have a gentleman or a lady who's 110 pounds and they're basically all muscle because they're going 35 miles per hour balancing on 2-inch pieces of metal while they have other horses going around them. So their athletic skill is very good. But really, just to kind of learn either a horse or a trainer to get along with a trainer, they may be a fit for a horse, they may not. But usually once you see a jock and a horse that do real well together, they'll try to stick with them time and again because it not only helps the horse and the trainer and that owner, helps the rider as well. So you see some of our top riders, they're riding 7, 8, 9 races a day, and there's a good reason why.
Tim, have you ever had, got some favorite horses over the years? Some that come to mind?
Man, oh man. I mean, think about all the horses that have come through Hawthorne.
Well, I mean, you talk about like the Illinois breds. I mean, Bucks Boy is a $1 million winner. Awesome Again, a horse that won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, won the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, the thing that we've talked about is just these Illinois bred horses, and that's what we try to bring back here. But I mean, you see them come through Hawthorne. I mean, Polar Expedition was a great turf horse. I mean, just recently, a horse by the name of the Pizza Man.
The Pizza Man's done very well.
Think about this. The Pizza Man was an Illinois bred horse that's known for winning the Arlington Million, one of the most prestigious races in Illinois. But what people don't know is the Pizza Man got his career started at Hawthorne. That's where he started. He won numerous races right there
and then
built his career, but his start came at Hawthorne.
Yeah.
How about jockeys? When I was a kid, I got to see Pat Day and I got to see Willie Shoemaker ride.
Early Fires was a good one.
Yeah, Early Fire is great. I mean, you think about Randy Meyer.
Well, Randy Meyer, he broke 52 bones in his body, I think, during his riding career.
Yeah,
52
Jen,
bones.
Oh when they there's a lot of falls.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of I know. It's that's
and but they bounce back.
Holy yeah,
he's the most winningest jockey, isn't he?
Yeah, at Hawthorne, he's the winningest rider in Hawthorne history.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
But you mentioned Pat Day, Bill Shoemaker. These are guys that raced in Illinois. I mean, they got their start there. Mike Smith rode in Illinois. I mean, a Hall of Famer, George Velasquez, for years. Right. The Early Fires is in the Hall of Fame.
I saw George ride too. I was very excited. Yeah. I was like, his name's almost like mine.
So, and it's cool. It was cool to see all these guys come through. But
then you have Mickey Rooney coming in. He was a constant at Hawthorne. I mean,
whenever
he was in Chicago. Chicago, Pete Rose, all those guys. I mean, they just always.
Yeah, I read that President Zimmerman, Truman even stopped by.
Yep. Truman was there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a very, very prestigious event.
It was
a
place to be seen.
To be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we'd like to bring it back to.
Yeah, how's your
family? And that's the thing, right?
How's your Instagram account?
Oh, my God. It's right.
I gotta follow your Instagram account. Uh-huh. That's the thing about being seen is it like yeah. you know yeah. generate right. some buzz that
right.
way too.
Right. Yep. Well, Jim's in charge of that.
All right, folks. If you get to Arlington Racetrack, you're in the wrong place. Hawthorne Racetrack. Their season starts this Friday, and the post times at 3 p.m. First
yep.
post.
Yep.
You got 9 races, right? Yep. So you got the afternoon to the early evening.
Right.
Place your bets. So how about food? What's the food?
You know, food. We have a couple of different options. We have the Tito's Bar located right in the middle of the grandstand, and it's a really cool thing because we're full card simulcast, and you have over 70 TVs right there. You can watch the races on the TVs, turn around and basically look at like the view we have right now, and that's your view of the racetrack. So beautiful. That's something that we have set up. And then the historic Gold Cup dining room every weekend, buffets each weekend, and again, it's enclosed. We're racing in the winter time, so you have a place where you can be comfortable, watch the races while the action's going on right out in front of you.
And what time's the last race?
Last race about 7:00.
Yeah. 7:00. So we could go and see like the first 7 races.
Yeah, that's what we were just saying. Absolutely. The opening, right? The opening of the winter season is next week.
Look, I'm doing the math in my head.
Yeah, we can make it. Yeah,
like it's a quick trip down here.
Races start at 3:00. We could absolutely make it here by 7:00.
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Yes.
All right, so we've got the opening days on Friday, October 5th. 3 p.m. first post. Anything else that I'm leaving out leaving behind that we haven't?
Get out there and go visit. It's fun.
There we go.
It's fun and it's cheap. Yeah. It's good.
There you go. There you go.
I feel like I'm a little girl again. I want to thank our friends from the Hawthorne Racetrack again. That's Jim Carey, the owner. Tim Carey, the owner. Jim Miller, the general manager. Our friend Billy, who's brought them in tonight. We look forward to having you back again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
I want to race the harness races.
We're going to let you race the harness races. You know what? How about this? You come out, we'll let you call a race.
No, I want to ride the horse.
How about you call a race?
We did that a couple years ago, Brian Noonan, myself, and Dave Kaplan.
Yep.
And let me just say, I smoke Brian Noonan.
Oh, nice.
You're listening, Brian.
Sorry, Noons. I smoked you.
I was supposed to, and I was in Los Angeles, and I was like, I can't make it. So John Hansen rode for me instead, so I was very sad about that.
You would not believe how hard it is to call a race.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to call it. I want to ride.
It's unbelievable.
I'd rather ride.
And here they come, spinning out of the turn.
It's a lot of pressure.
You got that voice going.
Too much
pressure. I
know. I'd rather ride, which sounds wrong. Anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. We're going to catch up with Scott Smith and Jen Zanotti. We want to have a conversation about a piece that Scott wrote.